Amen. But I hope you understand me. See, if you know anywhere that there is anointing that can solve any spiritual problem you have, and you see, say, you have reason to believe that this is of God. You stay for your church, oh, 3 years, the condition no change. You pray, oh, the thing no change. And you see people where get your camp problem, then they go there, then the thing they go, if they go there. Oh. Make you go there, go and receive your healing. Now Jesus give them. When you get and finish, run, come out. You have not seen. There are different types of hospitals. Amen. Your family doctor, try, the thing no work. Not take permission from him before you go meet another consultant too. If not, your doctor will kill you for nothing. So I hope you understand me when I speak against this anointing is to make you shine your eye anywhere you go. Huh? So that you know where to tread carefully. Jesus gave 70 of them power, and they came back, and oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. They were shouting, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In the name of Jesus, wow! The thing we go. Jesus looked at them and repeated the commission. I give you power. Turn upon serpent, scorpion, nothing will help you. Nothing, you're untouchable. But see what he added. Notwithstanding, verse 20. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Don't rejoice. The rejoice of a believer, of a minister, of myself here, is not that at the mention of the name of Jesus, what are you, vomit cockroach out of your belly. Take it. That day you get belly. The next day you born. Power. Keep healing me. Power. Hey. Wait. Jesus said, that is not what you should rejoice in. Don't rejoice in the gift you have. Don't rejoice in the size of your ministry. Don't rejoice in the anointing that you have. But rather, I'm reading on, rejoice. Why should you rejoice? Because your names are written in heaven. Oh, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Because you may have all the anointing, oh, and your name may not be written there. Amen. That is the reason why when they told him, the first thing, oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In verse 18, yes. See, when they kept telling him that, see, demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 18, see what he says. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Then he now said, I give you power to cast out devil, but rejoice not in this. Why did he bring in that statement first? Because he's reminding you that the anointing that you have will not reach Satan. Oh. The anointing that you have did not reach Lucifer. Lucifer's anointing. But he said he beheld him fall from heaven like lightning. That is, he fell with speed. Ooh, wah! All the glory he had disappeared in a moment. Therefore, your glory should not be in the anointing that you have or in the size of your church, the beauty of the auditorium you have, or the amount of blessings you have had as evidence that you are, that Christ is with you. Listen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this, you can see the way I preach this. I am preaching it. You can imagine if everybody listening to me now will catch this revelation. And then all of us take a stand for truth and walk in that truth. That's why you see me, I'm taking this in slowly. I will not finish this message today, so that you will catch it. I will take it gently, because such messages are not rushed. It is not repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. No. This is the kind of message that will send everybody to go and read. I beheld Satan feather like lightning. Praise the Lord. So who are you that you cannot fall? Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice, rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And please, where were those names written? Oh, say it very well. Ah, clap for yourself. You know it. You know it. The names were not written the day you gave your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Then your names were not written that day. Christ Jesus was not sentenced to the cross the day that he was sentenced and sent to Golgotha. The Bible says he was slain from when? The foundation of the world. It has been planned and arranged. The script had been written and settled. Then the actors are released to act it at the appropriate time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me read on. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, he began to pray, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. He said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. We cannot question you. Why you blind some people and you open some people's eyes to know this mystery of redemption? And he went further in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. He gave parable, and we came to verse 9. Matthew 13 and verse 9. This is how he concluded it. He said, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. Let's read on up to verse 16. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why? Why did you speak to them in the crusade we went? You were talking to them in parable. Imagine that somebody who came, for those of you who believe that your own understanding of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now he came. If salvation is for all, then why was he speaking in parable? Why will he speak and expect you to decode it? Why is he not breaking it down? And then the disciples too asked him that question. This was his answer. He answered and said unto them, he said, because it is given unto you. You, not all of you sitting down here with me now, not those in the crusade, those of you here now, although I spoke it for everybody, you were there. Did you understand? Did you understand? You too, you didn't understand now. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, because it is given. Who gave it to them? Can you see? He said, it is given. It has been ordained. It has been ordained. Why is it ordained like that? Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them out there, it is not given. So why do you say salvation is for all? There must be elect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those whom he has chosen. And when did he choose us? According to the Bible, he chose us from the foundation of the world. He didn't choose you the day you went to church. Even when you were in that cult, brother, you were his own. Your name is written somewhere already. When you were there, living that wild life, and they are calling you arm robber, they are calling you thief, prostitute, whatever they call you, God was looking at you and saying, you belong to me, I will soon come for you. And at the appropriate time, while we were yet sinners, glory be to God, Christ died on the cross of Calvary for us. That's why I love him. That group of people, the day they now get united with God, there is nothing like backsliding in their life. This group of people, as soon as finally God catches them, they are the ones that are on fire for God. But the ones that their names are not written, hallelujah, amen, they can stay here for 20 years. Nothing will change. They are here now with us. Go to their Facebook accounts and see what they are doing. And they are here. And in the same place, some are using that same Facebook, the internet, and spreading the light. And spreading the light. While others are using it and doing all the nyama-nyama nonsense they are doing. And yet they go to church. And some of them fall under anointing and even prophesy. They fall under anointing. And the Spirit of God will speak through them. God say the Lord. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Hallelujah. Ah, open my eyes that I may see. Oh, glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Set my hands,
bless me.
My hands,
the wonderful
King.
Oh,
the
shalom
of
God.
And
set
me
free. Oh, silently I wait.
Ready my goal.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord.
Open my eyes.
Illumine my
being.
Oh, spirit. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you read it further, the Bible says, that was his pattern. He will go out there and speak in parable. The Bible said, when they are together now with his disciple, he will now give them the meaning of the parable. But he left those other people to go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he come before another group and say, that name is Jesus. But the rest, according to what Jesus said in the crusade, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It's a mystery, church. It's a mystery. Hallelujah. Salvation is hidden in a mystery. Hallelujah. And spoken in parables. And kept here in the Bible in types. at his shadows. Salvation, therefore, is a hidden agenda. Hallelujah. It's a hidden agenda of God. And he's doing it in a mystery so that some people should not know. Because if those people had known, they would not have crucified Jesus. And if Jesus is not crucified, we shall not be saved. And so he's coming like a thief in the night. And he's going around and picking us one after the other. Picking us one after the other. Some people whose names are written in the book of life, they never born them yet. That's why Jesus never come. Don't be patient. Their names are written there. And some of them are still in beer palace. In fact, it is not because of those in beer palace, that those in occult and those robbery and prostitution and the rest, that is delaying his coming. It is not because of them. It is because of those who are not yet born. And their names are written in the book of life. He has to wait. He has to wait for the mama to grow, for the mama to meet the husband, and for that seed to be born and to grow. And then he will come and take over. One by one, he will be harvesting his children from this earth. And he will do it in a mystery. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Oh, say, by grace.
Are you in the number? Are you in the number?
Are you in that number?
By grace.
Answer, answer. Oh, I am in that number. I am sure. If you are sure, say.
I am in the number.
If you are sure, say.
I am in the number.
By grace.
I am in the number. I am in the number. I am in the number. By grace.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you see, in fact, I'm so happy this morning because early morning hours later, the Lord was telling me that he has used me to turn many from their iniquities. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I was so excited. So I will continue. Though I may be rude in speech, but it is turning many people from their iniquity. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so the foundation of God standeth having this. See, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let them that nameth the name of the Lord do what? Depart from iniquity. We are special people. We are special people. We are special people. We are special people. Hallelujah. We are special people. Praise the Lord. We are special. We are special. Don't look at the lack of worldly things around you and think God has forsaken you. Hallelujah. Your name is in the book of life. It's enough for me. It's enough for me.
The man of Calvary is enough for me. It's enough for me. It's enough for me. The man of Calvary is enough for me.
Oh, it's enough for me.
He's enough for me. The man of Calvary is enough for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ahem. So see, the divine agenda now. Let's get some of the picture. Some of the picture. So you just jot them down. Let's go first to Genesis. Let's go to the beginning. See, because it's a mystery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve. Amen. They are the beginning of the ignition of the divine agenda. Tradoc, they are happy now. They are happy now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is just an angle to it. Because we are doing something. The ministers were doing something. Praise the Lord. We are doing something with these scriptures. That is why
They are excited. Amen. Listen. God, from the beginning, before the world, He counseled with Himself. There's a scripture that says that this earth was created by God to be inhabited. This earth was created to be inhabited. Man is not the first occupant of this earth. Only God knows how many millions of years old this earth is. This earth has been existing. Hallelujah. Long, 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 long. For millions of years. Even there was an animal kingdom that lived on earth here. But they faced their judgment. Until now, there are bones, fossils of animals that are discovered by archaeologists that when they bring them to confirm the age, some of them are 5 million years old. 500,000, half a million years old. Go to the internet, all the information are there. But you and I, human beings from Adam till now, just about 6,000 years. And so, this earth, therefore, because I have often asked, when you come to First Corinthians chapter 15, the summary of the end, can we read it from verse 25? The summary of the end of the divine agenda, the summary of the end of the divine agenda is not in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 is not the summary of the end. Oh, the summary of the end is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I mean chapter 15, where we are reading now. It says, "For he must reign, that is Jesus Christ will reign, till he had put all enemies under his feet." The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that is in Revelation chapter 22. It's that place is Revelation chapter 22. Death and hell and everything is put into the lake of fire. They are burnt. The next verse. "For he had put all things under his feet." But when he said all things are put under him Jesus, it is manifest, it is clear that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. That is, the person that put all things under the feet of Jesus is not among the things that are under the feet of Jesus. Verse 28. "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Now the question is, so after that, what next? Another program will start. Only him knows the program. Because that's what has been going on earth here for millions of years. For years, "I beheld Satan cast down from heaven." Where did they cast him to? To the earth here. So, Satan one time, with his angels, they were all on earth here. And they faced their test. And they failed. Hallelujah. One third of them, I believe that all those angels that they said they were in heaven, they were all in heaven but on earth here. And then the archangel Lucifer was the one in charge. And so he decided to usurp the authority and wanted now to be worshipped himself. And then the battle started between two groups of angels. And even now, there's a battle that is going on even now. between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And some will follow error and go. And some will follow truth and go. And so what happened? Before you know what? God judged them. Jude was the one that said, there are some of those angels that have been kept in chain. They have been in chain all these years from that time. I'm sure those were even more wicked than Lucifer himself. If God said, if I release this one, trouble go there. So they are chained, reserved to the lake of fire. The next thousands of years coming. And they have been there like that. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The same thing, when he finished judging them, then there was an animal kingdom that was here on earth. Mighty, different mighty animals, some of them as big, one animal big as this building. They were walking on this earth. And before you know what, something happened. How do we know? The animal kingdom, Satan was the same one that went and caused confusion among them, I believe. But something happened because there are discoveries that are going on that have they have seen animals that are frozen around the North Pole and all those ice-cold areas of the earth, that when they remove the ice, they see them dead but with fresh grass in their mouth. That means they were there living their life normal, then suddenly something happened. And it is that thing that happened that we see God began to show Moses in Genesis chapter 1, where he says, in the beginning, that beginning, you know, tell and date, God created the heaven and the earth. Then the next thing is verse 2. If you read it with proper understanding, critically, it says, and the earth was without form. The earth was void and without form. How can God create something that has no form? That means something happened. Hallelujah. I believe it was when God judged the earth, tilted the earth, that changed the weather pattern of the world. That give us the kind of weather that we have. And you know that same judgment came on man with water. But he regretted created man. So what I'm saying, all this example, is that this earth is God's own laboratory. For he has created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and we are created. And you cannot question him. Apostle Paul said, we are the clay. He is the potter. We are ordinary sand before him. He will come. Oh, I don't want it. I break it, scatter it, remold it again like that. He does it for his own pleasure. But we've gone deeper than that. To know that. Hallelujah. We've gone deeper to know also that it is nothing but God displaying his attributes. Nothing more than that. God displaying his attributes. As far as we know, he is self-existing. He has not let us to know if there is any history behind him or anywhere, and we know he cannot lie. For his word says, before me, there is no other God. There was none before me, and none will be after me. And he is the only one. That is our God, though. He created the whole universe. You want to appreciate God, you know, you appreciate Him more when you are in a flight. And then you go far up. Especially these international flights, even the local flights that are long, where you just go and you are hanging, you know, you go beyond this place you are seeing and you are high there. You look here, nothing. You look here, nothing. Everywhere, just void. And yet, God allow us to use instrument to see that it is not void. He scattered everything in the galaxies. There are other planets like the Earth. That He positioned them everywhere and He is in charge. And every movement, it is that knowledge, hallelujah, that will make people like me appreciate Him. Look at all His creation. I was in a flight one time, a long international flight, and as I looked out, I saw, we went above the cloud level, so I was seeing. I say, and millions of miles to the right, to the left, up above me, all everywhere, He scattered all of them there. There are planets that are twice bigger than this earth that He created. And He didn't create them for fun. They are created and He's there, He's doing His activities in all of them. And then despite this big creation, He comes down in all the creation. I am less than a peck. That even if you use microscope, you can't detect me. In comparison to all the creature, then He will come to me and say, my son. Ah! He loves me. I cannot tell why.
He loves me. I can't
on Calvary's
tree. He suffered for me. He loves me. I can't on.
It's good to know God. Now, will this knowledge make me to be proud or humble? It will make me to be humble. Where is pride in it? Ah, such love.
Such wondrous love. Such love. Such wondrous love.
Such love.
Such love.
Such love.
Such love. How wonderful is love like this.
Hallelujah. No, it's true. Because you there is nothing you meditate on. That's why you just live the life you live anyhow. The day you walk with God by revelation, it will come down. You will see reason to be careful how you deal with even fellow human beings. How you deal with brethren in the church. How you deal. There are people that you know, you be so full of yourself. And then place yourself in a position and then present yourself better than another human being. And then act like you are who you are by your own making. You created yourself. And your creator is folding hand and looking at you. If I do, you are finished. And the psalmist says, we are like grass that wither away. Are human beings not withering away every day? You know, they see obituary. Where are those mighty, mighty names you have known since you were born? Where are they now? Are they not like grass withering away? And you tell you yourself, you will not wither away one day, Abby. The small chance you have now, you are, because you don't know. The knowledge of God produces humility. It is lack of knowledge of God that makes you to be proud. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so God began an agenda. And He started it. Let me now put, this time it's not angel. Angel is messenger. Angel is messenger. In this, in trying to bring his own, one of his attributes of a father. Amen. That's why some people, we are challenging me all around the world, some of them, but I'm sure later they understand. When I use the statement that I say that there was a time that God was not God. There was a time that God was not God. Now, it doesn't mean that there was a time that God was not existing. Do you understand? Do you understand? They are thinking that I am saying that there was a time that there was no God. Eh? As if they are thinking I'm saying that there was a time that he never existed. He existed as a being, but he was not God. But he was only God in attributes. Just as he is God in attributes, hallelujah. And he is not God because he created. If not, scientists will become gods. Do you understand? Hallelujah. He created this because there is an attribute of a creator in him. Amen. And he has many other attributes. That is why he created angels. Angels are messengers. Why did he create angels? Because he wanted to ignite another attribute of a God. God is an object of worship. And if he's going to become God, then he must create this that we worship him. So he created the angels. It is then he became God. But until then, he was only a creator. He was not God. I'm speaking English. There was a time that he was not a father. Eh? Am I correct? You get children? Eh? Eh?
No, sir.
Who get picking there? You have children? All of them are from the bachelors. You get picking?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
You have a child?
I have a child.
You have a child?
Yes, sir.
So he calls you what?
Daddy.
Daddy.
Yes, sir.
Now, there was a time, what's your name?
Okechukwu.
There was a time that Okechukwu was not a daddy.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But although you are not a daddy now, but you know you are a daddy.
Yes, sir. I know, sir.
Eh?
I know, sir.
Eh?
I know.
The attribute of a daddy is in you.
That's true, sir.
Your children are in you.
Yes, sir.
Until they come out, you are not yet a daddy.
Yes, sir.
That is our God for you. So there was a time that God was not God. But he had the attribute in him. Hallelujah. So now there's another attribute of a father. And he cannot be a father until he has a son. Hallelujah. And so he decided to make himself a son. In the genealogy of Adam, the last, you see Adam, the son of God. But no other angel is called the son of God like that. So that he, hallelujah, can be a father and he can have somebody that can call him daddy. And the relationship of a father with a son is different from a father with a servant. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so that's an attribute. Glory be to God. When a servant decides he don't work for you again, and he runs and goes, all the father will do is to get another servant, employ another servant. But when a son goes away from the Father, he's not at peace. No matter how bad you were, no matter how useless you are, he's waiting for you to come back. He's praying for you to come back. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you to come back. That is the story of the prodigal son. That is the story of the prodigal son. He's speaking about the relationship that God has with his children. And the word redemption. He came to redeem us. The process of redemption, you are first his own. Redeem means it was your own, but you lost it because somebody else collected it. Hallelujah. If it is not your own, you cannot talk of redeem. The word redeem comes from that it is first and foremost your own. Hallelujah. But he lost us. So the process of bringing us back under a law he himself created to be followed is the process of redemption. Pay the price and bring us back. That is why you have to be his own. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever is not for all, it is for his own. And are you saying that? Is everybody not created by God? It's another mystery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Everybody is created by God. But in a great house, there are vessels unto honor and a vessel unto dishonor. Number two. Yes. He created all of us. We all came from the same womb. Hallelujah. But there is a child of promise. And there is a product of flesh. There is Ishmael. There is Isaac. The same father. But they come under two different laws. The one of promise cannot share inheritance with the one that is product of the works of the flesh. That is why we shall be catching in the story of Ishmael and Isaac, Abraham's family. But we go back and go right from Adam and Eve to get the proper picture so that you understand why it has to happen like that. Everything there is to achieve only one thing, to pick you and I whose names are written in the book of life. We will continue next week. Hymn number 69. Let's stand up. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Hymn number 69. Everybody now.
Open my eyes that I may see a glimpses of truth thou art for me. Place in my hands the wonderful gift thou shalt unclasp and set me free. Oh, silently now I wait for thee. Already my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me.
I will.